Okay, so I hear you like books.
Why, yes, I do.
That's right. When I was your age, television was called books. And this is a special book.
Because when you read a book as a child, it becomes part of your identity in a way that no other reading in your whole life does. And I have gotten carried away.
Yeah. Yeah, you have.
Are you seeing the books? Everything you would want to read is right here. Feel it. Feels good, right? Just smell it. Nothing smells like that.
Welcome, friends, to special episode number 4 of the Team Friendship Podcast. Today we'll be discussing episode 4 of Anne with an E, called An Inward Treasure Born. I'm here with fellow podcasters Lauren.
Hello.
And Mandalay.
What up, friends?
And once again, we have our awesome special guest, Zoe.
Hey there.
Welcome, Zoe. So let's get into this episode, guys. This is episode 4. This episode was directed by David Evans. David Evans is an English director and producer. He's done quite a bit. But the two that stood out the most to me are he directed 2 episodes of the BBC series Robin Hood.
Woo-hoo.
Yes. I don't know if any of you watched that. Pretty good. Check it out. And he also directed 6 episodes of Downton Abbey. So, David...
Big fan.
Yes.
I hear that I should, but...
Watch it.
You'll love it. You'll love it.
Zoe didn't love it?
I didn't love it.
Well,
I'm sorry.
That's another discussion we'll have on another
I'll ask later yes. What it's about.
We have to ask Zoe to leave the podcast.
Yeah.
Just,
all right. Thanks for having me.
All right. Let's talk about our overall thoughts on this episode. Leah, what are your overall thoughts on episode 4? An Inward Treasure Born.
I had issues with this episode because it just felt really scattered. Like maybe they should have taken the first part of it and put it with episode.
Hmm.
Wait, what
the last episode?
Yeah.
I don't know. I agree.
It just felt like 2 different episodes.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah, that was my overall takeaway from it.
Mandy, what are your overall thoughts on this episode?
Is this the fire?
Yes, the fire.
And the not going to school.
Yes.
I liked this episode.
All right.
I wish I would have had a Matthew that said that I didn't have to go back to school.
Right. What a good guy.
That's right.
Zoe, what were your overall thoughts on this episode?
Yeah, I agree with Leah. It feels like sort of an in-between episode. There's stuff that happens, but it's all kind of... I feel like I'm waiting for something major to happen, and it doesn't really happen until the end.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a fire, and there are things happening, but it scattered.
It's all kind of just like waiting and, right. I don't know.
Thinking. Yeah. Lots of thinking. It's a thinking episode.
There we go.
Yes.
Maybe that's it. I just didn't understand. Deep
there's thinking. Like definitely character development that happens, but you're right. This was probably definitely one of those episodes that I, like, it was like 11 o'clock at night, and I'm like, I'll just watch 1 episode of Anne with an E, and then, like, 3 episodes later, because this one leaves you, like, wanting, that didn't really give me everything I wanted. Like,
right.
I want to know what's going to happen next.
Right.
So, anyway, I really enjoyed the exploration into female roles in this episode, and how Anne she's confronted with her future and what she wants to be. And I also like how she starts to find her place in Avonlea in this episode.
Hmm. As a firefighter.
Exactly.
Yes.
As a firefighter. So we begin with Anne's boycott of school. And can I just say I love the opening scene for this episode. I just love it so much. Like, she's just standing on the chicken coop.
I was going to say,
singing a song. And then, like, then you see Marilla and Matthew and Jerry just standing there, like, looking at her. Like,
she's lost. Yeah. That was me as a kid. I'd just stand there, like, in the forest, and I'd be like, la, la, la. And someone would be like, what are you doing? Nothing. Just making up my own song.
That was Mandy, too. Mandy and Zoe were very similar.
It was a deep,
deep daydreamer.
Yes.
And she made up songs all the time. I did. She was always singing and making up songs. And
some of them weren't made up. Some of them I learned places.
Okay, whatever.
Our like family quotation from that time period was, "You don't like Mandy's song? Mandy sing a different song."
Yeah.
And she would sing a different
yes.
song.
Yep. I knew lots of songs.
She was her own Pandora.
Yes, yep. yes.
Was.
Change the station.
Yep.
Oh, so funny. So, Zoe, what are your thoughts on Anne's boycott of school?
Well, I think Matthew was wrong to step in. No.
Sorry, I just want to be contrary.
Thank you.
You're welcome. No, I mean, I get why she doesn't want to go back, because I would have felt like that, too, because when deep humiliation sets in, you kind of just want to hide from the rest of the world. But this episode, I don't know, it's just really interesting. I know if we, I don't want to jump ahead, but there's like Katie that we're kind of
yes,
introduced
yep.
to. I have it written down as Creepy Katie.
Yes. yes.
And I continue to think of it as Creepy Katie in my mind.
Yes.
So that part kind of, again, going into this episode really kind of delves deep into people's minds and thoughts and their feelings of what they're going mm-hmm. through from the previous episode. Don't particularly like Creepy Katie. Hence I titled her Creepy. How many times I can say that? So, but it's interesting to see where her mind goes and how she's made this coping mechanism. Mm,
yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, I agree. Leah, your thoughts? We can talk about Katie, too.
Yeah, it all kind of goes together.
Yeah, it kind of goes together.
Yeah, the first scene definitely creeped me out at first because mm-hmm. you could just tell she's not, something's off. Like, she has snapped.
Mm-hmm.
I do love how Marilla is saying that if she doesn't go back to school, we're all going to be
yes.
in a loony bin.
Yes.
And then, yeah, Katie is creepy, and we discussed it before, and so I rewatched it, and there is definitely a voice, like, in her head, Katie voice
yes.
that comes out.
She's
her, yeah,
mouth,
right?
Her mouth isn't moving.
No.
Yes.
It's
no.
so creepy. Because
yeah.
she's, like, hearing people talking in her head about how she's a dog, or I think it was like the kids taunting
yes,
her or something.
Yes.
I can't remember what it was,
yeah.
something negative, mm-hmm. and then it's like Katie's voice that's in her head, mm-hmm. and so yeah, super creepy. Mm-hmm. Her
and just with
like,
the music in the background,
yeah.
like I think we talked about this like last time. Like, if they had played like different music, maybe
yeah.
it would have
yeah.
felt different, but just
right.
like it was so like everything was so creepy
right.
and like you,
yeah.
yeah, you just feel like what is happening.
And once again, like comparing it to the Megan Follows version, it was like my happy little window friend Katie.
Exactly.
Like she's
yeah.
my little buddy.
Yeah.
Like
exactly.
this was not
mm-hmm.
that Katie.
Now let's be together, Katie. Now it's like insert creepy music. Will always be
yes.
exactly.
It's that thing where you say something a different way with
yeah.
different music, and
yeah.
all of a sudden,
yep.
oh my
exactly.
goodness.
Exactly, yeah. But it definitely is her coping mechanism. Like,
yeah.
it's this intense situation is happening to her, and she brings back her imaginary friend. Like, she doesn't have anyone to talk to.
Yep.
Do you have any thoughts, Mandy? On
Katie, did you have a friend named
or,
Katie when you were little?
No, I had a friend named Nancy.
Yes. Was Nancy creepy, though, or was it just like, wait,
no.
when you think of Nancy, what does that make you feel?
We're digging deep into this, like, tonight. Is this Teen Friendship Podcast or therapy time for Mandy?
I mean, why not both, guys? Why not both?
I don't have negative... I don't remember a lot other than I remember one time she got a haircut.
Oh. Okay.
But,
Nice.
I don't, yeah, and I was telling my dad,
she got a haircut today. Hmm. Doesn't she look beautiful?
I don't know. You'll have to tell us when you get there, Lauren, but I feel like sometimes those parenting moments do border on creepy. Like, who is Nancy? Like, she got a haircut?
I remember yeah. he handled it pretty well, but I don't remember... If you're asking me if I remember seeing an entity, I do not.
Right, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Did you always kind of know, though, it was make-believe? Like, it was play?
Yeah,
part of play?
I feel like I always did know that it was. Mm-hmm. I just... Tell us about your imaginary friends. Email us.
Yes, send us your emails. Tell us about your imaginary friends.
Please don't send pictures.
Yeah, no, please no pictures.
No.
You guys can get some fun stuff.
So Anne goes back to school in quotation marks, but we discover that she's really just hanging out in the woods with her pinecone friends.
It's her own version of school.
But I just, in my, like, we see Anne faced with a situation again, which she feels she just can't go back. And, mm-hmm. you know, we saw this in episode 2 with the orphanage, and now we're seeing it again on a smaller scale where she doesn't want to go back to school. And she just can't, so she's hanging out in the woods again. What are your thoughts on her skipping out on school, Leah?
I wish I could have skipped out on school. I definitely felt the same social... I mean, I didn't have anything like her, but you have that social anxiety for trying to have to fit in. And I never had the same group of girls with me every year. I kind of alternated because in my own class I didn't have girls, so the other classes were my friends below and above. And, yeah, there were definitely times I would have loved to skip, but I think it was, I don't know, her little forest friends. That was entertaining.
She pets a little one.
And I did notice in my third watching, Marilla definitely, they portray Marilla, it's hard to say, as having an inkling something's off because Anne's just a little too chipper about going back to school. I thought that was a little clever on their part. But
she seems to ignore that. You know, at the same time, she just wants everything to be okay.
Right. Yes.
So she just pretends that her instincts aren't picking up on what could be really wrong under this.
Oh, no, it's fine.
Right.
She's not talking to pine cones. Everything's okay.
Yes.
We're good here. I can only handle so much. what were your thoughts, Zoe?
I thought they did a really great job kind of feeling the writers and the director making you feel like this is an inevitable choice. Mm-hmm. Like, Anne can't, like, you feel with Anne, like, well, she's walking up to the school building. You're like, no, we can't go back.
Yep.
Like, sorry, Anne, you're right. Anne, let's turn around. Let's leave this.
Yes.
We're done. Like, we just can't face it. And then, you know, logically, you know, when you think of a child doing something like this, you're like, no, child, go to school. Like,
right,
you know, I told you to do something, you know, you obey and you don't lie to us. And but meanwhile, through the episode, you're like, Marilla, you don't understand. You don't understand what we've been through.
Yeah.
And I just thought they did that really well, where we're kind of there with Anne, even though logically, you know, objectively, we're looking at it saying, yeah, a child needs to kind of face his fear and... won't spoil anything, but, you know, at the episode when she says starts to face them, she's rewarded for it. But, you know, you feel that. You feel that she can't go. She can't go back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You can't go back.
Yeah, and I love that Rachel Lynn, her response was, just give her time.
Yeah.
Give her space. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
And that was another endearing moment I had with Rachel. You can, I think that kind of goes with what you said, Zoe, that they are kind of pointing you in that direction, that even... stubborn Rachel is saying, give her space, it'll be fine, don't make her go back.
What are your thoughts, Mandy, on her skipping out on school?
I support her decision.
All right.
Gilbert
is so cute.
You know what, to be honest, in this situation, I probably would have differed from Anne because I probably would have gone back to school just for Gilbert.
Incentive.
Yeah.
I've been like, whatever, girls that are mean and my embarrassment.
Gilbert. That's right.
Yeah.
I got dibs now.
Yeah, yeah, right?
That's right.
So then we get a visit from the minister.
Yes.
Zoe, tell us your thoughts on the minister.
Oh, boy. Can I call a minister a jerk?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I wasn't sure if that was allowed, if I would get edited out for that.
No, I won't edit that out.
Right, thank you. good record saying, this guy's a jerk. So he bugs me on different levels. Because he's spouting this whole very... sexist, women should just be at home until they get married anyways.
Mm-hmm.
So why, you know, I think it's, you know, great if she stays home. Don't force her to do anything important in life. Just make her stay there until she gets a husband, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And Then we have, like, thinking back to the last episode where they're like, yes, careers are good for those who can't get husbands. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of, you know, playing off of that in your time period. Yeah, and obviously they just are very cliche to me anyways with their whole, I mean, it's realistic that there are people, men, ministers, people, leaders in positions that have treated women and advised wrongfully in this way. But it is cliche, you know, not surprising that Hollywood's kind of taken this turn of, oh, well, the minister is the person promoting all of this cultural sexist. Women are little but cattle and owned by their families until they're married kind of propaganda. So that's disappointing, but typical. But we were talking about once before how hopefully maybe he'll get replaced. Like in the series, didn't you say
something about the book, that you know, changed? The original minister leaves. I think he retires because he's old, and then a new minister moves to town, and he's younger, and he has a wife, and Anne actually becomes very close to both of them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like the minister's wife actually becomes her mentor almost. So I'm hoping they'll do that.
Yeah.
And if we get a season 2 or season 3. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, I agree. With Zoe, it is super cliche that, you know, the Christian minister is portrayed that way, but I've also personally experienced ministers telling me to go be in the kitchen because that's where, I mean, and that's in today's age.
Yeah.
So it is kind of one of those moments where you have to take a look, especially as a Christian community, that, okay, is this happening with us? Is this how we're viewing women's roles in the family and in society? But yeah, it is frustrating that that goes on in Hollywood as well. So it's kind of one of those bittersweet kind of moments where you're like, oh, this guy is so frustrating. Yeah. But yeah, I liked in this scene, one of my favorite lines is where he says, it doesn't matter what you think. And Anne says, about anything?
Yeah.
This doesn't seem right.
Yeah.
That was my favorite moment with the minister, as unpleasant as he was.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on the minister, Mandy?
I don't like him.
As usual, I like how Anne responds to him. I just like, even when she responds in a not good way, I still like the way that she responds to stuff. Yes.
I love that her takeaway from this is like, wow. I have to become a wife now.
Yeah. I know, and she's like...
I never imagined, yes.
Well, I do love that, like, this gets, like, even though, like, we don't agree with what the minister says, it gets Anne thinking and it gets Marilla thinking, too.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
yeah.
Like, as we see Anne's conversation with Jerry... Mandy, what are your thoughts on her conversation with Jerry?
What conversation?
Well, she goes up to the... Because Marilla says, I need to think... You know, so she sends her, you know, find something to do.
And... Oh, the conversation about how Jerry,
you know,
and...
she's like, Jerry, you're so lucky you're a boy.
Yes, and all that. And he kind of gives her the what for.
Right.
I like the conversation because while I understand where Anne was coming from, I also understood... Like, I feel like she didn't see Jerry as the position that that he has in life, which is cool that Anne doesn't...
Yeah. She's just, everyone's kind of on a level playing field with her.
Yeah.
But then he kind of got her to see that he doesn't have, you know, the opportunity that she has. Yeah.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah. Leah, do you have thoughts?
I agree with what Mandy said. Yeah, I just love how he doesn't understand the words that she's saying to him. And she's thinking that he's just not dreaming big enough. He's like, no, I literally don't know, what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And I think that was the final moment for her when she realized, oh, I do have an opportunity here that a boy doesn't have.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was good of them to portray that because I do see in today's society... Men are just getting thrown to the ground, and it's all about women, which obviously in history we've needed some changes in regards to women in society. But especially here in America, what I'm seeing is that now little boys that are growing up, they're going to face a whole new realm of problems that may or might not get addressed because of all the years of history of abuse coming from men. Mm-hmm. So yeah. I thought that this was interesting for a more forward-thinking production that they did bring out that even this boy didn't have the same opportunities. Right.
Like, it's not all about gender. It is. Right. There's a social aspect to
inequality isn't just about women.
I mean, I'm not saying that's a good thing. I'm saying like we need to remember that it's not all about me. You know, I think sometimes as a woman we can feel like, well, we are just so like, you know, everybody hates, you know, women don't have opportunities, but it's like, you know, we're not the only ones that
And the goal at times it seems to me the goal is not about equality. It's women's superiority. And which is not that's not better. I mean, that's just creating a different
problem. But you're so right. And there, I mean, I think a lot of women might not be seeing that, but there are women feminists out there that that is their goal. Their goal is women being superior. Right. Like, they don't want equality. They want the women to dominate. And that's not okay.
And it's easy to think that way when you're thinking about, you know, male, you know, men abusing women and taking advantage of them and adult men, but what about the children that you're raising? Boys? Like, what are they going
to
be?
We need to raise them to be good men. You know, that's what we need to do. Not just slam them.
Yeah, anyway.
Yeah, we kind of jumped around there, but that's okay. I'm okay with that.
I'm not going to get started on that.
Oh, we will. We will get started. But yeah, I just, everything you guys said, I just, I love all of Anne's interactions with Jerry. I just think that's a fun dynamic that they're exploring in this. So, what do you think, Zoe?
I would say that, kind of going into the dynamic of Anne and Jerry, I really like them. In a lot of, you know, in books and in film, you know, the main character usually needs some sort of soundboard for their ideas, their thoughts. They need someone to bounce it off, and usually, you know, that gives you an idea of what the character's going through or thinking through or in their minds. And Jerry's this character for Anne, which I really think is cool in a way, now that he just, you know, is that kind of literary device, you know, he just stands there and mindlessly takes, you know, all her thoughts and actions. But he's actually, you know, the opposite of her. He's practical. He doesn't really have an imagination. He's not ambitious or curious about the world in the way she is. And like a sibling, you know, their relationship could have gone very like, oh, a love triangle, and you know, which I was kind of terrified at the beginning. I'm like, oh no, he's like the same age as her too, and he lives near her. It's like, are we gonna get this love triangle thing? But really, it's more like a sibling relationship, and like a sibling, he just tells it to her straight. Like, no, like he doesn't sugarcoat it. He doesn't like he doesn't act like we're buddy, you know, like best friends, and I'm just gonna tell you nicely, you know, that actually, Anne, you have things pretty well, you know, in your life, and you don't know what I'm going through. He's like, I don't know what you're talking about. And I think that's great. I think it's just such a good contrast to Anne's flightiness of character to have that kind of person just kind of listening to her and reacting to what she's thinking.
And I love that little moment between the two of them, like, after the fire, where he leans over to her and says, like, maybe you should be a firefighter. It's just really sweet.
I cried a little.
Aww. You're so sweet.
So we've kind of gotten into this a little bit, but I think we would be doing a disservice if we don't talk about gender norms in this episode. So, as it relates to this episode and just, I don't know, any kind of thoughts that were evoked in your mind as you watch this episode about gender norms, like, let us know. Zoe, what are your thoughts relating to that, you know, from this episode, I guess?
Well, I think it's really great that both Anne, again, we're paralleling.
Paralleling, oh, that's the right word.
In this episode, we're seeing, again, a lot of similarity between Marilla and what she's going through in her mind and heart and what Anne is going through. So it's really fun to see kind of Marilla as she's been in this gender role, particularly, you know, for her, you know, the kind of woman she is in her time period. for a longer time than Anne has. Mm-hmm. And Anne is just kind of facing, like, the beginnings of what her life could be like. And Marilla's looking back at what her life has been like.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And she's looking at it and she's seeing, you know, there's a great part between her and Matthew where he's like, well, you seem to have a lot on your mind or something like that. And she's like, well, yeah, do you want me to clean anything or bake anything for you or sew anything? And she like, stomps off. And, and he's just sitting there like, oh, you shouldn't have touched that.
Yeah.
Should not have touched that. But I love how they're just in, there's just so much character development in this show, which, you know, love or hate it, you have to admire the fact that these characters feel like real people because mm-hmm. they're developing and they're changing, mm-hmm. which is true to life. You know, she's looking at herself and she's seeing how she wished things were different, and how she's seeing how her choices could be Anne's choices, and how now her future could be very different than what Marilla's has been.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Do you have any thoughts on this, Mandy?
I mean, going off of what... I mean, I don't know. She... I feel like Anne and Marilla realize that at the same time.
Yeah.
What you said. The stuff.
Leah.
I do like that. I don't know. Did we feel that kind of parallel existence in the first Anne series? I don't really remember seeing that.
No. Not that I remember, anyway.
Yeah. So it was very interesting to watch it again. I just watched it today. And see Marilla, her thought process of the scene where she's just sitting in the kitchen staring at Anne's school books. Mm-hmm. And then Rachel comes in and asks her something about what she's doing. And she says, I don't know what I'm doing anymore, who I am. And and just seeing her searching and thinking back, I enjoyed watching her progress in that way. And... oh, I don't know. There was a lot in this episode regarding that. I did notice in the beginning as well, Rachel then says about Anne being stuck at home and just kind of helping in the kitchen. And she said, oh, don't worry, she'll go back, because it's hard to have lofty ideas when you're stuck in the kitchen all day. And Marilla totally counters her on that. You know, no, it's not. It's possible, but you're still.
Speak for yourself.
So, I don't know. I love Marilla's strong female role, but you also see how much she's had to give up just because of her situation, her family situation, but also her situation as a woman in that day and age who's unmarried and uneducated. Mm-hmm. Lauren?
I think that this is a conversation that needs to be had more often than we have it. I think we need to differentiate between what's, you know, ungodly thinking and what's biblical thinking when it comes to gender roles and gender norms. And I'm just speaking for myself personally, like, this is just such a gray area, especially I think in our circles, and I just think that it needs to be talked about more and in a good way, so that we can, you know, as women, you know, be discerning. You know, like, there's just we're being like just bombarded with all this stuff in society and in our culture of just, like, you know, women matter and, you know, all this stuff that we're being bombarded with. And a lot of it is good and true, but some of it's not good and true. And I think that just because some of it's not good and true doesn't mean that we just shouldn't talk about it at all. I think we need to learn how to talk about it and teach younger girls and train them and let them know, like, what God says about women and how God values women. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I just, especially the circles we grew up in, where it was a very different environment than we're in now, even just how, like, just gender roles are assigned almost to, like, boys and girls. Like, you know, you're a boy, you're gonna be into sports and you're gonna, you know, all this stuff. And you're a girl and you're going to be into music and cooking and all the artsy stuff. And, you know, so it's not just girls that are being,
right,
you know, it's boys too. Like, if a boy is interested in the arts, like, well, that was considered, like, you know, well, you can't be interested in the arts. You're a boy. Go out there and play sports or whatever, you know.
Don't be a sissy.
Yeah,
and stuff like that.
Exactly,
yeah.
You know. And so I think it can happen with both, you know, both boys and girls, and I just think we need to be, we need to educate ourselves a little bit more about what does God really say about this, because I think we can grow very prejudiced and judgmental when we don't have to be.
Yeah.
So.
Kind of going off what she said, it just seems to me like, you know, the more you get confused with what people are saying, you know, what gender roles should be, and you get farther from the truth, you know, when you're, you hear people talk about, you know, when you're trying to learn what a counterfeit is, you know, you don't study, you know, the counterfeit, you study the original, you study what is true.
Yeah.
And so, you know, in order to know what God says, you know, to not, to know that, you know, this is just a society-driven gender norm. This is just what you think that a man or a woman should be doing. You know, you have to go back and study what God says. Yeah. You know, what is our biblical identity as a woman and as a man? Because that can be very different from what the world says or even from what churches think, you know, and have created as gender norms.
Yep.
So you have to go back and study the original.
Yeah.
I was surprised. I did a study on submission in the Bible and the women's role, and actually attempted to present it in New York City, which was probably really, I don't know, naive of me. But I was surprised at the different things that God put in place, even in the Old Testament, because there's so much criticism of the treatment of women in the Old Testament. And a lot of the rules and regulations that seem confusing or barbaric to us were actually in place to protect women who were being taken captive. Just different things that they had to do to her, supposedly, were methods of protection to keep her from being just thrown out on the street or taken advantage of. Like, she was actually supposed to be brought into the home as an accepted wife, as brought into the religious community to give her the same status as a Hebrew wife, and talking about the Jewish culture. So things like that were surprising to me, because I think that we don't even know those as Christians, you know, and so when we're taught that women are just disrespected in the church, we just go with that because that's what society is telling us. But that's not what God has told us, you know.
Yeah, that might be what's happening in the church, and I think there's a lot of stuff happening in the church that's not okay because we're human. And But you guys are both right. It's like, what does God have to say about this?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, you're right. It's like,
I mean, he's made it way. He put women in the lineage of the Messiah. Yeah. I mean, that's insane to that culture, especially to have that, to have them mentioned in the Holy Scriptures that they are in the line of Christ. Yeah.
And not pristine women that stuck to their perfect, you know, written roles of, you know, the godly woman.
Yeah. And yes, these were definitely very colorful women.
Definitely.
Yeah.
God loves women in spite of what we are taught.
And men.
Amen.
That's right.
Thank you, Zoe.
You're welcome.
Before we move on, did anyone want to say anything else about that? All right. So let's talk about the fire. And so I noticed this, even the very, it was the second time I watched the episode, how at the beginning of the episode they're like chopping wood and like putting wood into the fire.
Well done.
And then how Anne burns the cake and like Marilla's all like, you're gonna set this place on fire.
My mind's been blown right now.
Seriously. I know, right? So
in the ladybug, she talks about the ladybug. You guys.
So they're like setting it up. And you don't even know.
That happened in this episode, Mandy.
I know I'm having flashbacks right now watching the episode.
I feel like I need to go rewatch all of them now.
I noticed that my second watch, and I wish I could have, you know, said, my first watch, and I totally knew there was going to be a fire. I didn't. Know that.
You didn't know?
So well done. In episode 3, you did it with the hair.
Yeah, exactly. And so when you said that, I was mad that I didn't notice that, because I did notice the fire one, so.
Well done, Lauren. That's amazing.
Yeah. So, thoughts on the fire. Leah, what are your thoughts?
It was hot.
Sorry. I love Gilbert.
Oh, Mandy.
it was surprising to me to see, not surprising because I think we've seen this in this time before, but just all the whole community coming together and I think when I watched this the second time, I was just reading a book about community, so I was just so proud of them that they were right. working together.
Spirit of the people.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, that was pretty much my only thought.
Yeah, I basically wrote the same thing. I just love how the community comes together for this. Also, Anne is really stupid, and you are not supposed to go into a house in a fire. That is like fire safety 101. When they come to your school when you're in kindergarten, yeah. that is like the first, after never stop, drop, and roll, in. They say, do not go into a burning building to be the hero.
She did the thing.
She did the thing.
Closed the doors.
But you see how she almost died on her way out? We don't really know how she got out.
She wasn't wrong, though.
Oh, no, she wasn't. She was really right. But she was also.
But she could have died.
She could have died.
She could have. But she didn't. Yes. And we knew she wouldn't.
Because you're lucky.
I feel like
they need a disclaimer.
Plot because armor. There were three more episodes.
Just plot armor. She cannot die.
I think they should have like a warning at the beginning, though. Like. Don't
do not
don't
attempt
run into
because
a building,
thankfully
please.
Today firefighters know about that and so they will make sure that's that right. the doors and the windows are closed.
Also, she grabs the handle and shuts the door. You are also not supposed to do that.
Didn't she have like a thing? Didn't she?
She grabbed the handle with her bare hand.
No, I could have sworn
she had a blanket on her head, but she grabbed the handle with her bare hand.
Yeah, that
I know because every time
that
like,
definitely would
have
burned
you would have
her.
A, hand, yeah, a doorknob
burned her
imprint.
Come on, Anne with an E, people. Get it together.
But, I mean, we did learn a lot about fires. And,
so
like,
before you run out of the house.
Yeah. They do recommend, like, especially if you're leaving the house for the day or at night, to have your doors closed. Because if there is a fire, then.
Anyway. Anne made a foolish choice to save the day.
I just love that she talks, how Anne says there wasn't much to read at the orphanage, so she read the fire manual.
Yes. Did that remind you of a certain Gilmore Girls scene? A little Gilmore Girls trivia. When Lorelai tells Luke how to fix the oven.
Oh, yes.
Because she couldn't sleep at night, so she read the oven manual.
Yes.
That's
nice.
Totally what I thought of when that scene
Yes, that's right. So I love how Anne finally stands up to Billy Andrews when she goes to deliver the baked goods to the men working on the house. Like, let's just talk about that whole scene, but...
Oh my goodness.
I loved that scene.
Tell us why.
I just liked how witty she was, like... Mm-hmm. Meh, you!
Yeah.
Billy!
Yeah. I love how, like, everyone there, like, laughs, like... They're, like, behind Anne. Like, they're like, yes, we agree with you. Mm-hmm. This kid is a...
Yes.
A jerk.
Yes. He needs a spanking.
And rewatching it, Ruby, she's that little girl, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Her fall cracked me up. It is so cute, because she totally wipes out, and then she just sits there
and, like, puts her legs out.
I laugh because I've done that. When I've fully, like, wiped out, I've full on laid on the ground. And I'm just kind of like, it can't get worse than this, so I'm just going to sit here. I'm just going to lay on the ground for a few moments and soak it all in.
Oh, yes.
So I understand. I feel Ruby.
I just love Ruby. I love her so much.
I think she's cute.
Yeah. No, I appreciated Anne's standing up for herself and... What did Gilbert do in that scene? I feel like he just stood there and watched in awe.
Because Billy says, why don't you go back to the kitchen and bake something?
Oh, right.
And Gilbert says, they already did. Like,
newsflash.
And then he climbs down the ladder and helps Ruby up. And
yes.
Like, old gentlemanly.
Yeah.
She's looking
like,
up at him in awe.
Ruby's just like in awe. Thank you, Gilbert. And Anne's just like, whatever.
Meanwhile,
like,
he's like eyeing Anne.
Yeah, I know. He keeps looking at Anne and she's like, has no
We have
interest.
To go.
Yeah. No interest. And I just love like what Anne says to the minister. Like, honesty really is the best policy. It feels pretty good.
Oh, the poor minister didn't see it coming.
No. And I did rewatch that scene again today, Zoe, because you had mentioned that Mr. Phillips is in the background.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, I forgot.
Like, he's just, it's very quick. But he's just like not doing anything and he's just he just wipes his forehead.
The best. Yeah. Daintily picks something up with one hand, lifts it.
Yeah. It's pretty good.
I'm so tired.
The best.
I'll take some cookies.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, and then I just love what Anne says, like, you know, Ruby's like, oh, isn't Gilbert so, like, chivalrous or something like that? Well, he's something. I love that scene so much. It's
a great scene.
Can we jump back really quick?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Let's jump back.
All right, jump back. Is that a song? No, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Jumping back really quick, Diana, I just love the part after the fire where they're divvying up the people, the family. And again, going back to like how the community just like just surrounds them, and it would be amazing if we did this, but we don't, of course.
Yeah, especially since I could fight a fire all night and then get out of work the next day.
Right, exactly.
Have
because
to sleep.
Town you
is
could just
fire.
Make cookies for
yes,
and that's it. And just how everyone's like, okay, well, we'll stop. We'll go take care of stuff at our house and our farm and our jobs, and then we'll be back with more people, and we'll take care of this, and we'll get it done. And here, you go. You know, you go with this family, and we'll take your kids at our house, and you know, and then you get to this part where Diana and Ruby and Anne are all there, and Ruby finds out she has to go to Anne's house, and she's flipping out, and her parents are like, stop it. You're embarrassing us.
Yes.
And she's, you know, worried about what all these kids will think if she's going to Anne's house. And Anne's like, it's okay. You know, nobody will think you're friends with me, which is very sweet and thoughtful to say. But then I just love how Diana, like, you've seen how Diana kind of changed. Like, she's had this separation from Anne because of Anne stopping to go to school and the whole awkward stuff with the scene in the last episode. And then, like, Diana's kind of been, like, kind of waffling, I think, in her friendship and knowing what to do with Anne. And then now she's kind of, like, decided that she is, like, team Anne. And she is all about Anne. And she comes up and she's like, you know what, Ruby? It doesn't matter what other people think. It matters what you think. And I think Anne is awesome.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I just love that part where, Anne, like, Diana's, like, officially there. Like, she's officially kind of made up her mind that it doesn't matter if other people think she's weird either. I think she's awesome.
Yes. That was a good scene.
I love that part.
But yeah, I like everyone's been saying, like, just, like, that spirit of the people and coming together. And, like, I think we experience that in our church circle. Like, just, you know, anytime somebody has, like, a physical, like, or, like, if they're sick or someone's in the hospital, like, everyone just, like, oh, we'll make a meal for you or, you know, we'll watch your kids or just stuff like that and just how special that is, you know, because you don't see that everywhere. And not that we're perfect, and we definitely need more people to help in the nursery.
has this gone into advertising?
I don't know. I think so. I'm okay with that.
But anyway, yes, I just love all of that community stuff. Yeah. It was fun to see the community come together and just see Anne again find her place, and just like seeing how Ruby kind of warms up to Anne and, you know, realizes, oh, she actually is kind of cool to be around and all of that, and how they form their little story club and, I don't know, it was just fun to see Ruby's attitude shift and all of that, like we've been saying.
I love this scene where I think they're in Anne's bedroom and Ruby is just lamenting everything and Anne keeps trying to say things they can do and... My dresses. You can wear so mine. Messy. I have two.
I have two. Yes. Exactly. And she starts sobbing. Yes.
No. Ruby just cracked me up.
Oh my goodness. I love her.
Because how many of us haven't met, like, especially as a kid, like, that overly dramatic, girly friend who's just...
Reality has no place in her life.
Some special gloves when you handle her.
Yes.
It's okay.
It's all right.
She needs an Anne in her life.
Yes. Yes, she does. Yes.
But yeah, I just love the story club and just, I like how Anne of Green Gables in general, like, you know, the books, the movies, everything, it just really encourages children to read and to write and
to have imagination.
I just love that. Yeah. It's just something that I think some kids are missing. I know I missed it when I was a kid. I didn't really get into reading till I was probably in fifth or sixth grade. I was read to, and I read stuff, but I didn't really get into reading and just understand, like, getting lost in a story and, like, you know, that feeling of just, like, you're just in another place, and then when you get done, you just don't know what to do with your life. I mean, it's like, you've just been so, like, committed to this story.
That's why I stopped finishing books.
And you come out and you're like, no, take me back.
I know, it's hard. So, yeah, I just love that. And I just want all the kids in the world to read and write. That's my goal. That's my dream.
Is this a Miss America speech? I
thought that sounded like a presidential wife, like, campaign.
I just want all the children. And such as. They don't have that.
Leah, what are your thoughts on the story club?
Oh, my goodness.
Story club.
That's what it's called.
I know, it just sounded funny. Because you like to make things clubs.
I do.
I'm pretty sure they call it a story club. They? I think they do.
I love it. I think it was a nice glimpse into, kind of brings you back into childhood. Because mm-hmm. you just dealt with a lot of, you know, gender norms and a fire and yes. all of these serious issues. And now you're back into Anne's fun mm-hmm. little forest children mm-hmm. life. And I would have loved to have had a club like that mm-hmm. as a child.
Yeah.
I think it's also funny how she just drags the other two with her. They're not. They don't care. Yeah,
they don't care.
They don't care. And Ruby, I don't have any ideas.
Mm-hmm. Personality like that. Like, this is what we're doing, guys.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. But how good is it for those other two girls mm-hmm. to have mm-hmm. someone who, like, makes them stretch their mm-hmm. imagination mm-hmm. and, like, yes. Think in a different way than they have yeah. before. You know, Ruby's like, I don't even know what to write. Yeah. And Anne's like, well, what about this? And yeah. you see Ruby's eyes light up like,
yeah.
oh, like,
yeah, exactly.
I can imagine and do this, you know. That's very cool.
That's very cool.
I like their little hut.
Yeah. And I wonder, like, was that, hut? Like, was that already built and Anne just right, found it?
Right.
Or did she make it? I don't know.
It's pretty dilapidated. Like,
yeah. yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's, yeah, it's super
pretty
cool.
Great.
So let's talk about Anne and Marilla's conversation. It happens, like, at the end of mm-hmm. the episode, and Anne kind of walks into Marilla's room, and mm-hmm. she tells her that she's... wants to go back to school, and she's kind of thought more about her future, and...
Yeah, that was the moment I was talking about where I feel like they both realized whatever
yeah.
at the same
yeah.
time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you kind of see an end to the journey that's been building on mm-hmm. that Marilla is realizing who Anne is and what she needs and who she is
mm-hmm. yeah,
and how she can properly direct Anne in her future and... I don't know. I was trying to think what the line was, but where she's just talking about thinking about being a wife and what that means for her. That, I don't know.
Well, and like kind of jumping off of that, like she's like what, like 12 years old? Like she shouldn't yeah. have to be thinking about being a wife. Mm-hmm. Like
life decisions.
Yeah. Right. That's like really scary.
Exactly. That's what it was. That's what I was thinking about today. I don't know if it was too young or if it speaks to some of the decisions you make as a child that do direct your future, you yeah. know, some of the things that happen to you that develop mm-hmm. you as a person and kind of speak to what will happen.
Yeah, that's true.
Down the road.
Yeah. I just love that moment yeah. between her and Marilla. I don't know. Yeah. It's just a sweet moment. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, because you see Marilla doing the parenting thing and Anne yeah. just being the crazy child who's, like, driving her nuts. And they finally have this moment where they can talk, like, almost like their peers, yeah. almost.
Well,
like,
when Anne comes into her room, she comes in and she says, you know, Ruby has fallen asleep. How good it is that she can go to sleep yes. so quickly. Yes. She has to go home tomorrow. She kind
I
of
love
was
how she, like, inches her
yeah,
way.
Yeah,
I know. And Marilla's like,
she's like, okay, what do you want to say?
Exactly.
She's just waiting
We've
for
all
to
had
sing.
Those moments.
Yeah. You know, like, oh, yeah, definitely.
I need to talk about something serious,
but I
don't.
I'm just
going
to
really
lead up to it. Yeah. Anyway, I just loved that moment
right.
between those two.
Yeah. Maybe it's reading into it too much for Marilla's side of things. But putting a point out there, you know, there are some girls and women who I would say almost like the Ruby side of things, you know, probably would be really happy just to stop school, and whose true dream right. and goal would be yep. to be a mom and to mm-hmm. be a wife and to run a household. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
But mm-hmm. it's sort of like Marilla says where, you know, I think, I didn't get a choice.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. and I think you could sort of see her come to terms with the fact that this isn't a bad life right, that right. I've been given, but I also wasn't given a choice.
Right, yeah.
And what the matters are coming down to is that you should have a choice.
Right,
and,
yeah, right.
You know, and if that's what Anne had wanted, if she'd been, you know, kind of eased into like, okay, well, I would just like to, right. you know, learn how to be, you know, a wife someday. Mm-hmm. And there's, again, you know, there shouldn't be anything wrong with that. That is, mm-mm, you know, mm-mm. that is something that, you know, God's put in her, that individual. But that wasn't Anne, you know.
Yeah.
Anne wanted to learn, and she was hungry for things, and mm-hmm. obviously wasn't what she wanted in her life. Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
I thought that was really cool where, I don't know, maybe it's getting me reading to it, but I feel like Marilla comes to terms with it mm-hmm. herself yes. in that way.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree, but, felt that as well.
Yeah, mm-hmm. but she also was excited about Anne's future yeah. being different.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. Do you guys have any last thoughts on this episode before we move on to some listener feedback? Mandy, you have something to say?
I loved it.
On the edge of her seat, waiting to hear that. Leah, do you have any last thoughts or anything that we didn't talk about that you wanted to get in?
I don't think so. I felt like that last moment really summed up a lot for Anne and for Marilla, and I really appreciated how they handled that, and just, it just seemed like such a pure, like, mother-daughter moment, mm-hmm. too. You know, it's nighttime, and you have these thoughts, and you want to mm-hmm. kind of talk it out.
Mm-hmm.
So as much as this episode was very scattered for me, I did enjoy that final moment, and I think I kind of just skipped over it the last few times I watched it, because I was done.
Right.
I mean, like, well, okay, what's going to happen in the next episode?
Yeah,
right.
But I do appreciate that. Enjoyed. It kind of made the episode better for me.
Yes. Do you have any last thoughts, Zoe?
I was just going to say that I really love how they showed, just again, developing the relationship between Diana, Ruby, and Anne, kind of culminating in the fact that they're in this club together
mm-hmm.
now,
mm-hmm.
and that Ruby has accepted and kind of says, well, maybe school wouldn't be so bad, you know, mm-hmm. if I have Ruby as well as Diana
mm-hmm.
now.
Mm-hmm.
And she's been, you know, agonizing over going back to school this whole time, because the part of her that wants to learn, wants, like she said, you know, wants a different future than just being at home and being
right.
a wife someday. She's been trying to figure out what she should do about that, because, that side of her wants to do it, and the other side says, I can't go back. But really, the thing that had the effect on her in changing that was her peers. You know, it mm-hmm. was, it's just interesting to me that even though, yes, parents can tell you, you know, you're worthy, you know, you should go back, you don't have anything to be afraid of, sometimes the people that have the biggest effect on us are our peers.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's challenging in the sense that we have an effect on our peers and on our friends.
Mm-hmm.
And we can, you know, we don't really know how life-changing, you know, mm-hmm. our influence can be on them. So I just thought that was really great, you know, and really kind of was saved by her friends in a way.
Yeah, I like that.
Well, definitely a very thought-provoking episode. We received some listener feedback from our Canadian listener, Vaudrey. I just wanted to talk about a few of the things that she sent us. Let's see. So she had some comments on episode 2. So she talks about how we mentioned the contrast between the shady man and Mr. Avery, the milkman.
Mm-hmm.
And
going way back here.
She just has it. Yeah, I know. We got to hit our minds back there. But she just noted that the shady man offered candy, but only if you went with him. And then how Mr. Avery shared his food, but there weren't any strings attached. Mm-hmm. You know, he just couldn't, you know, he couldn't think of eating while a little girl wasn't. And she also brought out the contrast between Matthew and Mr. Hammond,
mm-hmm.
Anne's previous father figure in her life. I say that word lightly.
Yeah.
And then she mentioned about how Anne was, you know, reading the poetry in the train station. She said, I got the impression that Anne was earning her keep. And even before then, when she was helping Mr. Avery, like, she would put the milk out for him. Like, she wasn't just, you know, a freeloader or whatever. But that she definitely is of that mindset of earning earning what she gets. What else did she say? Oh, she made the comparison. She compared Marilla to Lady Macbeth in the scene where Marilla is scrubbing the floor. And I've never, I think we had to read part of Macbeth in school, but I've never read the whole thing. Have any of you? Yeah, neither have I.
Yeah, I would just know that that scene where there's like a murder and they're trying to scrub,
like, scrub the blood out. But yeah, so Vawdrey just says, you know, Marilla's worried that she sent a good girl away and she's worried about Matthew. And then, you know, something might have happened to them and it was her fault. So she was trying to remove the stain from the house. So I thought that was an interesting...
That is interesting.
Yeah, comparison that she thought of. That was very interesting. And then Vawdrey also sent us some quotations. The first one was from Nellie McClung, who is a Canadian feminist, politician, and social activist. She was a part of the social and moral reform movements prevalent in Western Canada in the early 1900s. It's a mouthful.
Oh, that was a lot.
But so McClung wrote a book called In Times Like These, and Vawdrey sent us a quote from that book. And it's just an excerpt from the book that talks about a story of a little girl who was abducted from a train station and how... the laws at the time gave stricter punishment for stealing than for kidnapping, and how the church upheld all of that. And just, I guess, like, kind of the gist of the book is how the church needs to speak out about what's happening in society, specifically in bettering conditions for women. So, you guys, I'll include a link to this, and you can check out our Facebook page. Vawdrey included the whole quote on our Facebook page, so you can check it out there. And then she also shared an article with us about a famous Canadian singer named Tom Connors. And she shared an article with us about just kind of the comparison of his life to Anne, you know, the fictional character of Anne's life, and it's really interesting. So I'll include that in the show notes too. So thank you to Vawdrey for including that.
We love you, Vawdrey.
Nice job, Vawdrey.
Yeah, and she also brought to our attention there's another podcast that's covering the Anne with the E shows. It's called Anne Heads, I think is what it's called. So I checked out the first episode. I didn't want to listen too far ahead because they've made it through all the episodes. Yeah. So I don't want to listen to them and, steal their stuff. So, but I checked out their first episode. It's a husband and a wife, and the wife's from Canada, so they seem like a real neat couple. But their goal for their podcast is just talk about all things Anne of Green Gables. So now they're going to talk about something else next. So
that's so funny.
Yeah, so check them out. I also wanted to talk about, there's a link I found that shows kind of a short little video clip of a behind the scenes of the costumes. And I'll include that too. The costume designer is Anne Dixon, and she's done so much. She's done all kinds of genres and time periods, so she's very talented and has, like, kind of a broad spectrum of skills. So I'll include the link to the video, and then she has a lookbook that shows her sketches of the Anne with the E stuff. So I'll include that too, because I thought that was pretty awesome.
She should tell us where to get Marilla's belt.
Yes, exactly.
It's amazing.
Or just sell your own line of
Anne-inspired
clothing.
I will buy it.
Yeah. I love all that behind-the-scenes stuff. It's just like, as a viewer, you're just watching this thing and enjoying it, and it takes like an hour of your day or two or three, depending on how many episodes you get through. But, like, you just don't think about, like, all the people and time and money and, like, that has gone into, like, this production. It's just amazing to me. Just so many talented people coming together. Well, should we let the people know how to get a hold of us?
Yes. If you have helpful information like Vawdrey, you can email us at teamfriendshippodcast, all one word, at gmail.com.
You can find us on Instagram at teamfriendshippodcast.
We're on Facebook, www.facebook.com/teamfriendshippodcast.
And we're on Twitter at 3friendspodcast, and the 3 is just the number 3.
And our website, teamfriendshippodcast.com.
And you can find Lauren on Twitter, at GracieFirstborn.
You can find me on Instagram. My username is Leah Raniel, L-E-A-H-R-A-N-J-E-L.
You can find me on Instagram as well, at Mandy Millay.
You can find me on Instagram at zcook501.
All right, guys.
Captioning provided by.
Right. Well, we'll see you all in another time.
And remember, friends, if you can't be cheerful, be as cheerful as you can.
We do.
It's great.
Remember, we talked about having nice, amicable discussions with people who have different opinions than us. Yeah.
Oh. We're going deep fast. All right. Sinners.
All right.
The M's. They come out so fast.
It's all right. We all do it.
No, I'm not ashamed anymore. I'm just going to pretend I am.
I was little and yeah. I don't know where you were. Probably with her.
Probably. Aww. Well, there was because we're 4 years apart, there's just that period of time where you go through where like for a while it's mm-hmm. cool to play with each other, mm-hmm. and then I got
That's
older.
An awkward
and,
age,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And now mm-hmm. we're friends again.
We so are. It's good.
Isn't it wonderful
so
that all turns out, you guys?
I think.
Tell us. Come on, just say it.
No.
Is that it?
Mandy is very black and white.
I thought since we gave you coffee.
They all take everything that needs to be said from me.
I'll let you go first on the next one.
I do like,
I don't have notes.
That's all right. Just a little glimpse behind the scenes.
Maybe one of us should go first. I liked that comment. I thought we had a good little chat.
Exactly.
Do you feel good?
I do. I feel good about that. I didn't go on an angry tirade.
I'm proud of you.
I did last time. And I've been doing that in my life. We were leaving the house.
Yes.
We were leaving the house one day, and I had closed all the doors, and my husband was like, "What are you doing?" And he goes and opens all the doors. And I'm like, "Honey, if there's a fire, we got to have the doors closed." He's like, "No, I want air circulation, because it can get kind of stuffy in our house." And he's like, "I want air circulation." I'm like, "Honey, no. If there's a fire," he's like, "Lauren, if there is a fire, the doors being closed are not going to save anything in our house." And I'm like, "Yeah, you're right. We live in a barn, so..." But in
I
normal
always
houses,
my door open. Gotta close it. My cat's food is in my room.
Well, she keeps your cat in your room.
Yeah.
No. Like at nighttime.
At night I do when I sleep.
Well, during the day it's fine because there's usually people in your house during the day.
That's true. It is well populated.
Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Anyways.
Oh boy.
I love the fire.
I already asked you this. Never mind. We're going to talk about my thoughts now.
Edit.
Yes, Mandy. That was it.
Wow.
I can't right
now. I'm just going for it, so.